It's Susanna. Welcome to Fashion Love Stories by me, Susanna Galanis. I'm a jewelry designer, I'm an artist, and I'm a resident of Manhattan, New York City. I was born in Greece, and my main inspiration and love and passion is ancient Greece, all the teachings and the glorious times of that magnificent period. And I'm here inspired by my ancestors to share things with you. I'm also inspired by New York City. That's another love of mine. And my times at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, Versace, Bergdorf Goodman's, and my times with my own jewelry collection as a designer, Susanna Galani's Jewelry Age of Gods. I'm inspired a lot by spirituality, so you will get a little bit of everything, but overall a very nice blend of inspirations and fashion stories and love stories from me. I can't wait to share season 4 with you. Looking forward. Before we begin, my darlings, I have to tell you, I had so much fun and so much excitement creating this podcast for you, because after all, I'm a fashionista and I absolutely love fashion and specifically Prada. So while I was doing research, I was so overwhelmed with the contribution in the fashion world of this amazing designer, fashion designer and creative. And I have to say, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I will revisit in future episodes about this amazing style influencer, because there is so much content, so many amazing products, so much business inspiration, so much creativity, so many collections, timeless, iconic. So this is just a minor introduction, yet it's very powerful, because it's Prada, after all, for you fashionistas. It's just something to give you an opportunity to look into this amazing designer and to keep on going. Continue to be inspired, as I am. But I'll be back in the future with more stuff, more content. I promise. It's Susanna. It's June 25th, Saturday, and the time is 7:34 a.m. And I'm in New York City. It's the weekend, and normally I would go away, but I miss New York. It's my home. It's my heart. It's my essence. It's my part of my chemistry, my biochemistry. I have a little bit of a New York gene in me, so it is something that I cannot abandon. It is part of me. I'm trying to fight it, but I always come back to New York. The fact is, I was getting very tired of my beloved Manhattan, New York City, became the last few years during the COVID and upright COVID years. It's dirty, it's filthy, it's ugly. A lot of construction, a lot of filth, a lot of scaffolding. In New York City, everything is kind of dimmed down. The beautiful lights of New York, they're not there, but sometimes they are. For example, yesterday while I was working on 57th Street, it's a very long, narrow street that you can see from one end of the island at the east end to the west end, can kind of like gaze and see all the way down and the beautiful buildings, the skyscrapers, the electricity in the air and the divine design and the architecture of what makes Manhattan glamorous and powerful. It was there. And then at the end, it was the most golden, the most beautiful, orange, bright sunset. It was amazing. I wish I had my camera or my phone, because normally I would carry my phone with me. But that particular moment, I didn't have it. I forgot it at home. So these are the moments that are making New York City majestic. And being the spiritual, intuitive person that I am, and always feeling signs from the universe, I felt that was a majestic, a magnificent sign from the divine that Manhattan is there, and it will always be there, and it is blessed with beautiful divine energy, and it is favored by the gods and the main god, the highest god of all. Okay, so I felt good, I felt at home, I felt justified for loving Manhattan so much and obsessing about it and deciding to not leave yet, one foot out the door, but still one foot in the door in Manhattan. So I'm kind of going back and forth, but I'm very optimistic about the future, and I do believe Manhattan is going to revive and it will become more glorious than ever. So I'm staying here for the weekend, and I'm working on my art and beautiful themes, all divinely inspired. I'm getting more into prayer these days. I'm getting more into having intimate conversations with the divine creator of ours, and the Holy Spirit, and all these high vibrational energies, and the light and the beauty and the divine creator, and all this. And I'm in such an uplifted mood. I was asking for help and inspiration, and then it comes to me as soon as I ask. It always comes. I just have to be specific about what I'm asking, because your dreams and your wishes do come true. You have to believe that. You have to have the faith. It's very important to do that. So yes, I have been focusing a lot about art and about self-expression and perfect self-expression and divine inspirations and my whole idea behind my creativity and my works of art is to inspire others. Being blessed in having this enlightened state of mind and enlightened attitude and visions and ideas and energy and all these beautiful concepts inspired by the divine, I feel blessed. And why not share this beautiful energy through my art with you? Why not inspire you as well? So this is what I have been focusing. I have not been podcasting as much, and I do apologize for that. But I can only do so much, and I felt a calling to focus on my art. But at the end of the day, I'm going to combine everything. Coffee break. I need a coffee. Okay, I still have to wake up. So, at the end of the day, my platform should be about art, about my passion for fashion, spirituality injected, and also my passion for speaking the word via podcasting and sharing my thoughts and my energy and my visions and my inspirations with you. But it's going to be all of the above, because I still love passion. I'm passionate about fashion. That's what I meant. I'm so sorry. I still love fashion. I told you it's early and I'm still having coffee, but I had the urge to record this, and I did it. Forgive me for any mistakes in the translation of what I'm trying to say and how it's being expressed. But at the end of this podcast, my whole idea is to inspire you and to excite you and to inform you. Inform you about what, my darlings? The topic of today's podcast is going to be about one of my greatest passions ever since the 1990s, ever since I started being aware of fashion, of high-end fashion, and I became obsessed with Prada, one of my favorite brands ever is Prada. Now I'm getting back into vintage and very 70s inspired and a little bit more high-end, more traditional labels, such as Armani, Loro Piana, Acris, what else? Some vintage Alexander McQueen I bought lately. More on the classic, traditional style that, of course, I'm making my own by injecting the cool accessories, the hip looks of what is happening now on street looks, on a lot of the style influencers that are showing they're mixing everything. I'm not trying to copy them. I'm trying to express myself like them, because it's in the collective. And as an influencer that I am in style and art and, you know, society in general, I know I pick all of these even before they become trends. And sometimes I'm surprised that I even picked something up and then I see it and I was wearing it. And then I see it mainstream trending years later. And I'm so excited because of my styling inspirations and talents and gifts, I would say. I'm very happy. So I'm trying to share that with you and my styling in general. But coming back to Prada, I was always obsessed about Prada, accessories, clothing, etc., especially accessories. I know a lot of the people now, the style icons and fashionistas and influencers, they're more into Chanel and Louis Vuitton, Hermes. But for me, it's Prada. This is my obsession. I'm so obsessed about Prada that in 2018, I created a painting, a work of art, it's huge. There are actually two paintings together that make one. It is about 10 feet wide, I'm sorry, long, and about 5 feet high. It's hanging in my living room above my sectional sofa. And the theme, the inspiration, is fashion and passion. And in that painting, I have deconstructed shopping bags, and most of them are Prada. Actually, all of them are Prada. So basically, I have the shopping bags in an artistic way. They're torn, they're there as an inspiration, as a message of how important fashion is, how passionate I am about fashion, and how it is part of my DNA. Okay, so it's there, it's creating such energy, it's such a powerful expression of me as an artist and as a fashion person, that it's combining the two, but in a very energetic, powerful way. And it's there, it's always staring at me, it's always at my face, that Prada logo, the Prada existence. For me, it matters. That's why I labeled these paintings, this work of art, which is part of two paintings, Fashion Matters, Passion Matters, or in other words, Prada. I don't know how to officially label it. Most likely it's going to be Prada, and then the people that are going to be viewing the work of art, they will get my passion, and they will get my fashion sense, and they will get the message. So yeah, it's going to be Prada. I don't know, it's one of my favorite paintings. Obviously I have it in my living room, but I don't know if I will ever get rid of it. I may, I don't know, because I have a tendency to hold on to things that I love, but I have to let go. That's one of my challenges these days. It's not about holding on, it's about letting others enjoy my creativity. It's very hard because I love my work of art, I love my jewelry, and it's part of me, it's part of my essence, part of my heart, part of my personality. And I feel that I'm diluting my energy by giving it away to others. But as an artist, I have to do that. I have to allow my art to be sold and to be shared with others, and I have to trust, have faith in the divine. This is where my current state of mind is, about having the faith. Faith is going to be a very important part of my next group of art. Having the faith that more passion, more creativity is going to come to me. I'm going to allow the divine to use me as a vessel to create and share it with others. Like I said, it's going to be challenging, but I'm going to make it my aim, my major challenge to overcome for the next few years. So going back to Prada, I don't know why I was so fascinated with this particular brand, with the aesthetics. I know it's artistic, I know the expression, it's kind of bold, it's like wearable art. Maybe it's because of that, maybe the artist in me always acknowledged it and related to the self-expression by Miuccia Prada, the designer of Prada, and how bold she was through the years and still is, and how that expression correlated with how I felt. And I appreciate the creativity. So yes, my darlings, it's going to be about fashion, passion, and Prada in this particular podcast. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take a little break to continue with my coffee, wake up officially, And tell you a little bit about, for those of you who are not familiar, the history of Prada, the label, and the contributions into the world of fashion, into our lives for the past, I would say, 20 plus years, 25, 30 years, and the significance of how Prada affected us, and the messages it sent out to us, and how it spoke through style about the culture and the evolution of our society, and our feelings, our energies, our thoughts, our futuristic visions, and how it all blended in our lives, and how it became part of us, and we influenced Prada as well. So it's deeper than just a label, than just frivolous styling. It's just expression, the self-expression, the societal expression, and then influencing us, and how we use all of this beauty and creativity to express ourselves and to become what we are today. Okay, so I'm going to come back with more about Prada, and then at the end I'm going to give you some of Prada's famous quotes coming from the creative director Miuccia Prada herself. So this is gonna be fun. Wait, it's coming up. And here we go, my darlings. We're going to be speaking, discussing. I'm going to be discussing about my beloved Prada, the company, and the designer. The name is Miuccia Prada, and it is spelled, the designer's name, obviously, Miuccia, M-I-U-C-C-I-A. Miuccia, and the last name is Prada, P-R-A-D-A. We all know that, but I just wanted to, for the record, spell it out for you. So, Prada, the company, was founded in Milan in 1913. I had no idea about that until I did this research. I thought it was much later, in the 60s. It was founded by Mario Prada, and it was a luxury leather goods company. At that time, it did not make a huge impact as Prada has made in later years, okay? So it was just a company until Miuccia Prada took charge of her grandfather's company. Obviously, Mario Prada was the grandfather. And in 1978, Miuccia took charge. She was very intellectual and very highly educated. She had a PhD, I believe in political science, and she was a very educated woman and very serious woman. And I believe she wanted to make a difference in the world. And she was leaning more towards the left wing politics or communism at the time. I don't know what her beliefs are now, political beliefs are now, but she started more as an intellectual feminist, slightly communist, I would say, inspiration force, and this is where she was coming from. That doesn't mean she's still the same. I have no idea what she's now, but according to the stories that I've read. So she was a very fierce woman, wanted to impact the world and also impact the women's status and empower women. Okay, she was part of that group with the whole theme about women's empowerment that was happening during those times in the 70s, 60s and 70s. So she's coming from that background, okay? Her first big success was the black nylon backpack with the signature triangular silver label that has like an inverted triangle facing down. It's very chic, very sleek, with the name Prada on it. Very simple, minimalistic look. In silver, but now you see it also in black trim as well, black and gold and silver and black. We have both. I tend to like the silver. And most of my, actually no, I have two, I have both. But one of my favorite bags has the silver hardware and label. It's more cool, more contemporary. Soon after she introduced the black nylon backpack, which is very signature Prada product, and everybody has been carrying it, all the cool people in New York, at least that I know, so including myself. So after that, this bag, by the way, has been introduced and reintroduced and reintroduced, and it's still classic after all those years. So it's still happening, okay? So you can still wear one of those bags and still look contemporary and hip and cool. This is the magnificent energy and style aesthetic of Prada. This is what I'm fascinated with. You're always cool wearing Prada. So after she introduced the bag, she introduced additional designs, handbag designs and shoes, and became the focus of a veritable cult of fashionable consumers all over the world, in Europe, America, Japan. Okay, Miuccia Prada and her husband, who is her business partner, his name is Patrizio Bertelli, maintain close control over the company. They have since introduced ready-to-wear. The first ready-to-wear line was in 1989. Eventually they inaugurated a younger, more slightly affordable, less expensive, the Miu Miu collection line, and that was introduced in the early 90s, in 1992. It's more younger, less severe, I would say, more playful, okay? And affordable. So eventually they introduced the Prada Sport, and the Prada Sport has an iconic red line, and it is very recognizable. It is very similar to Nike's, the swoosh symbol of Nike. It's almost like a check mark. The red line of Prada is as famous as that. A string of shops and boutiques in Paris, New York, San Francisco, all over the world actually, popped up. And they were designed in collaboration with a famous architect. His name is Rem Koolhaas, K-O-O-L-H-A-A-S. The Prada aesthetic, the Prada atmosphere, the design, the signature look of their stores became instantly famous. Okay, so how do you describe the style of Prada? The clothes and the accessories have been described as both classic and eccentric, frumpy but hip, cool, wearable. And they have been marked by an ambiguous techno-retro sensibility. Now, I like this retro sensibility because it's still happening. She introduced that many years ago. Now the retro sensibility, the vintage craze that everyone is going wild about it, and the younger generation is wearing, and they're mixing the retro and the 1970s sensibility that is happening right now. Prada introduced that, but with a twist: techno retro sensibility. And that made it uniquely the Prada aesthetic. On one hand, Prada style is modern, drawing on northern Italian traditions of discreet elegance and fine craftsmanship. I have to take a break, take a coffee, and drink some water. This is what happens when I speak too much and I'm dehydrated. On the other hand, as Miuccia Prada said in 1995, I make ugly clothes from ugly material. Simply bad taste, but at the end, they end up looking good anyway. End of quote. She had a season back in the day, which is called Bad Taste, the Bad Taste quote-unquote collection, featuring such styles as Formica check design, which evoked the look of 1970s polyester. It was kind of like unexpected and really on the ugly side and a little bit bold and ugly. But several years later, she said, "I have always thought that Prada clothes looked kind of normal, but not quite normal. This is what makes it," end of quote, "this is what makes it Prada, the aesthetic. They have little twists, and those twists are disturbing, different, unexpected. There's something about her style is quite revolutionary, not quite acceptable, bold." Okay, so this is what Prada is known for. It's known for cool, down-to-earth, revolutionary type of clothes. Not quite the clothing for the bourgeois, but there is something bourgeois about it. They're eccentric yet intellectual, and they're pure. The clothes appeal to the intellectuals and the artists. While fashion editors throughout the times are always drawn to her constant experimentalism. So Prada produced many amazing, strong collections. So they still remain pure, pure to their original concept of what I just described, and they became classic through the years, and yet timeless. Whatever you have from Prada, even years ago, like I have a pair of boots that I bought, it was one of my very, very first expensive designer purchases that I bought with a combination of leather and the nylon and the logo and the buckles and the hard leather. Very, very gorgeous, yet street kind of a, not so elegant, a little bit bold, but it's still happening. I can wear it now. And I bought this at the end of 1990s, in the end of 1990s. So Yes, her style is timeless. So I'm going to take a break and come back with more Prada information. I hope you're enjoying this because I am certainly enjoying speaking to you about my favorite brand, Prada. So let's continue with some of the history of Prada. What is behind the name Prada? Obviously, it is one of the most iconic brands in fashion history. The designers behind the brand have continually striven to be innovative while maintaining their classically refined style. So, the House of Prada has proven its longevity, and the Prada name is in huge demand, and it is expected to be in demand for years because of its timeless signature aesthetic. So, here I'm going to give you a quote by Miuccia Prada, quote, "What you wear is how you present yourself to the world, especially today when human contacts go so fast. Fashion is instant language," end of quote. So it is interesting, like I said to you earlier, the first Prada store opened in 1913. And this store was in the prestigious Galleria Vittorio Emanuele II in Milan, Italy. So Mario Prada opened the leather goods shop with his brother Martino. The store sold bags, trunks, steamers, and travel accessories. So in 1919, Prada was awarded the title of official supplier of the Italian royal house. So this was a very prestigious distinction and allowed Prada to display the House of Savoy coat of arms and knotted rope design, which is the signature trademark logo. This honor is what makes Prada a symbol of the Italian aristocracy. So here is a very interesting fact also about Prada, and it's quite interesting because at that time the patriarchal style was in style. It was very much in style. So according to Mario Prada, he did not believe that women should work outside the home. So all of his female family members were excluded from working in his company. But there was an ironic twist there because his only son had no interest in the family business. So his daughter, Luisa Prada, took over the family business and she became Mario's successor and ran the company for almost 20 years. So she was part of the foundation, the roots of Prada. So the business were expanded later in the 1970s, obviously, like I just told you earlier, by Luisa's daughter, Miuccia Prada. Okay, so she initially devoted herself in designing the accessories and she continued the tradition of producing the high quality bags and luggage of the family business. So the business became even stronger in the 70s, in the 1977 era and late 70s, when she Miuccia met her husband, Patrizio Bertelli, who was a young Italian with his own leather goods business, leather goods. So he joined the Prada family business, and this partnership, the marriage between Miuccia and Patrizio, created the historical Prada label as we know it. And by that time, the inspiration of the two and the combined talents created the new direction of Prada. So here was Miuccia with a very sophisticated creativity and aesthetic, and all of these designs that she was doing and her vision, the stylistic input. And there was also Patrizio's entrepreneurial intuition, and the two, the marriage of the two, helped expand the Prada business. Like I said, they added the footwear, women's collections also, and was extremely well received, and the business took off. It gained major attention and expanded its network of directly owned stores into the markets all over the world. So the signature look of the stores, again, like I said to you earlier, they were very clean. The aesthetic was very unique. They had this unique green color hue walls, and the color became known as Prada Green. The very first store opened up in Via della Spiga and eventually all over the world: London, Madrid, Tokyo, Paris, New York, all over. It became a global success. More success, more new directions, more power, okay? So it became better and better. The women's wear line was introduced in the late 80s. And the very, very first collection debuted in the catwalks of Milan in 1988. They were very distinct, the styles. That particular collection was very interesting, with dropped waistlines and narrow belts. The fashion world fell in love with Prada's clean lines, luxurious fabrics and color sections, but a little bit also the unexpected and the revolutionary style. A lot of people related to that. It was bold, unapologetic, making a statement. Here I am, I'm making a difference in this world. So all these styles, all these aesthetics, all this collection became the ingredients of Prada's major brand, and it still is to this day. So the Prada family got married in 1987. They're still at the helm of the Prada company business, the business. And they end up owning other smaller brands. Like I said, Miu Miu is one, Church's, Carshu, Patisseria, Marcassi. But definitely the heart of the business is Prada, the Prada brand. So I can't get enough of Prada. I can go on and on and on and on and on. So I'm going to take another little break and give you some highlights about Prada, the most iconic collections. Here we go with the fascinating story of Miuccia Prada and the Prada label. So before I tell you some of the iconic looks through the years of Prada, I'm going to give you some details about its designer, Miuccia, because this woman is fascinating. She's an Italian billionaire these days, and a major influence and a huge businesswoman in the fashion business world. She's still the head designer of Prada,
And she's also the founder of the subsidiary company Miu Miu. As of October 2021, Forbes, the magazine, the company estimated her net worth to be $4.8 billion. In June 2021, Bloomberg estimated her net worth to be $6.62 billion. And she was ranked the 464th wealthiest person in the world. So here we go, the youngest granddaughter of Mario Prada, Miuccia, took over the luxury goods company in 1978, and she created a legacy. I forgot to mention before the additional acquisitions that Prada has made through the years. And there were an additional three companies, Jill Sander, Helmut Lang, and Azzedine Alaia. In 2002, Prada opened her own contemporary art museum. In 2013, Prada was named one of the 50 best dressed women all over the age of 50 by Forbes. The magazine listed her as the 75th most powerful woman in the world in 2014. And then at that time, her estimated net worth was $11.1 billion. Okay, there you go. And we were talking about, that I was going to mention some of the most inspirational looks, iconic looks, okay, of Prada. So her aesthetic, it's usually different and bold, and it's not like, for example, Armani, one of her competitors. It has a signature look in the aesthetics. Prada usually surprises us with different bold statements, colors, designs. It's totally unexpected, shapes, everything. So it's like different chapters. In fashion, in a fashion book, in a fashion history book. So there are certain statement pieces that are definitely defining a specific timeless collection that is still wearable and still acceptable years later, okay? Because, her, like I said, her styles are timeless. And she has this forward-thinking approach and the knack of knowing what people really want even before they know they want it. So this is her talent, okay? This is her powerful gift as a creative. So she has collaborated with different also designers. So her currently collaboration with Raf Simons, the collections are as strong as ever, but definitely some pieces from the past are very important, okay, for us to talk about. From 2005, the dainty elegant straps and over the knee sequins dress. Okay, so that was very, very important. The silk turban in spring 2007. That was very iconic. In spring 2008, the fantasy, the pajama type of a look. in 2009, the golden suit. In 2010, the chandelier sandals, they were so beautiful. The banana motif in spring 2011, one of my favorite looks in 2011 as well, was the blue sweater, oversized sky blue sweater with cable knits and belted around, a very thin belt around the waist, and a beautiful classic black skirt, very 50s inspired. I absolutely love this look. Another iconic look was the spring 2012, the fired up stiletto, very iconic look. The graphic suit for 2012, very 70s inspired, bold printed graphic pantsuit. The 22nd century geisha dress. Very contemporary 1960s inspired shift dress, but also very inspirational. The inspiration was the Japanese geisha, elegant. In 2014, the scarlet shearling coat, practical and stylish winter coat, warm, very cool shearling coat, but with bold red color. The brocade mule in spring 2015. The flower brooch of 2015, very 60s inspired, beautiful feminine. An iconic look is the white corset in 2016. It was worn, a corset that was worn over a military style coat with a beautiful, gorgeous black belt and tiny little charm like wallets. Very bold and unexpected. It was called Genius by Vogue's Sarah Harris. It is considered one of her best. Fall 2016. It quickly became a street style favorite. It still is. I see some of the style influencers wearing that look. The fuzzy cardigan, winter 2017, so well put together according to the fashion experts. It was really odd yet unusual, yet classic and timeless. The feathered heels in winter 2017, red feathers all over. The padded hairband, spring 2019. The monolith boots, winter 2019. Just to mention a few of the pieces, take a look online and see these pieces that I'm mentioning, and get inspired of the timeless look, the timeless bold looks, forward, classic, contemporary classic looks of Prada. I'll be back with quotes.
And here we go. This is my favorite part of the podcast. This is where I share with you famous quotes. And in this case, is Miuccia Prada. The great. Prada the great. So here we go with some of her famous quotes. You cannot do something just for the money. You have to do things you believe in, and eventually you will make money. Women always try to tame themselves as they get older, but the ones who look best are often a bit wilder. I always wanted to be different. I always wanted to be first. I like that. Daring to wear something different takes effort. You have to embrace the world if you want to live in it now. What you wear is how you present yourself to the world, especially today when human contacts are so quick. Fashion is instant language. If you want to be understood by the sophisticated few, but you also have to be more loud somehow, otherwise your message doesn't go through. I would say there is no Prada woman. I'm interested in women in general. I don't have any kind of preference. I disagree. There is a Prada woman. There is a type that definitely has that Prada signature, and she owns it. I'm sorry to disagree here. But I understand she wanted to address all women, and she was not specifically looking for a specific type to dress or to use as a muse. I totally get it, but eventually that woman that is inspired by Prada is the Prada woman, and she's definitely distinct, in my opinion. Okay, next. I don't believe in people who think that clothes are not important. I totally get it. Me too. Quote, fashion fosters cliches of beauty, but I want to tear them apart. Okay. You have to always work against what you did before and even against your taste. This is her secret, I suppose. I like the irony. I like the irony in my work. Irony. Ironic. Okay. Ugly is attractive. Ugly is exciting. Maybe because it is newer. The investigation of ugliness is, to me, more interesting than the bourgeois idea of beauty. And why? Because ugly is human. Yeah, I get it, but I still, beauty is still beauty. Okay, let's embrace both. Let's understand ugliness as well without focusing on one specific aspect of existence. Let's go. Basically, I'm trying to make men more sensitive and women stronger. Do I agree with that? Yes, maybe up to a certain point, but men are stronger and women are sensitive, and this is their nature. So let's embrace that without being apologetic for being sensitive as women. However, there is strength in sensitivity. There is the feminine sensitivity, okay? And the feminine power, and therefore the feminine power. That's how I feel. Next. What interests me most is when a work of art is no longer just an object, but also touches reality and life. Totally, I get it. If I have done anything, is to make ugly appealing. Yes, she did. I want to make clothes that are beautiful, of course, but also clothes that are interesting and considered and intelligent and not out of place. Yes, I respect that. My idea is always to avoid nostalgia, yet she goes back to nostalgia. She draws from there. I see it all the time. Very retro. Yet somehow she brings it out and she makes it her own Prada distinctive look. But definitely nostalgia is very noticeable in her designs. Very 1950s inspired, the headbands, the sweaters, the retro looks. There is always nostalgia. This is what I like, actually. But I love the contemporary look of it. Here we go again about nostalgia. Quote, nostalgia is a very complicated subject for me. I'm attracted by nostalgia, but I refuse it intellectually. It is horrible when people are only interested in buying labels because it doesn't bring them the happiness they think they will. No, you have to use intelligence when you're dressing and when you're expressing, and you have to use authenticity and confidence and boldness and be unapologetically you. The only way to do something in depth is to work hard. Yes, I see. Fashion is instant language. Totally get it. When I design and wonder what the point is, I think of someone having a bad time in their life. Maybe they're sad and they wake up and put on something I've made and it makes them feel just a bit better. So in that sense, fashion is a little help in the life of a person, but only a little, end of quote. I totally get it. That's how I create stuff also. I create the jewelry because if I can make someone happy, and yes, I do make people happy when they wear my jewelry, so it gives me more desire to do more and more because I want to make people happy. I totally understand what she's saying. Quote, the only way to do something in depth is to work hard. The moment you start being in love with what you're doing and thinking it's beautiful or rich, when you're in danger. I'm trying to understand this. The moment you start being in love with what you're doing and thinking it's beautiful or rich, then you are in danger. Okay. Why is that though? I don't get it. The only way to do something in depth is work hard. The moment you start being in love with what you're doing and thinking it is beautiful or rich, then you are in danger. You take things for granted, I suppose. You stop working hard, I suppose. Okay, next. I always love aesthetics, not particularly fashion, but an idea of beauty. I was a feminist in the 60s. And can you imagine? The worst thing I could have done was to be in fashion. It was the most uncomfortable position, end of quote. And yet she has done it, so what does this mean? I guess we have to embrace life and go with the flow. That's what I'm thinking. No labels. Feminist, not feminist, this and that. Just be you, be authentic, and have joy doing it. That's what I'm thinking. So, let's see. Women always try to tame themselves as they get older, but the ones who look best are often a bit wilder. So we said that. I'm sorry, my computer acted very funny. So let's see if I find anything else. Here we go. People ask me, how can I be stylish? How I can be elegant? And what can I wear? My only answer is study. You have to learn. I guess what the ancient Greeks, this is my thought now, I guess what the ancient Greeks meant is when they said, know thyself, know your angles, your best side, and take advantage of these. I'm not interested in types, I'm interested in archetypes. Okay. Ugly is attractive, ugly is exciting. Okay, designing for me is a very complex process. There are many ideas that I want to express in one object, often contradictory. The creative process in Miu Miu is completely different from that of Prada. Miu Miu is not as complicated, as thought out as Prada. Rather than being young, Miu Miu is immediate. Prada is very sophisticated and considerate. Miu Miu is much more naive. The solution when I'm working on Miu Miu has to come immediately, instinctively, spontaneously, with whatever is available at the moment. If I think three times, I stop. Okay, my darlings, that's it. End of story.